This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Several wildfires are burning in California, but by far the largest is the Kincade Fire in the northern part of the state, which is still out of control. Mike Parks with Cal Fire.
Currently, the fire stands at 16,000 acres. We have made 5% containment.
The fire in Sonoma County has forced at least 2,000 people to evacuate their homes. It's being fueled still by the strong Santa Ana winds. Massachusetts is taking ExxonMobil to court for misleading people for decades over the link between fossil fuels and climate change. The state attorney general filing the suit yesterday. The energy giant's facing a similar suit from New York, claiming Exxon scientists knew years ago that fossil fuels were hastening global warming, but the company lied to even their investors. This is USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Chicago public school students missing day seven of classes because of a teacher's strike. Union Chief of Staff Jennifer Johnson says she's still hoping the teachers will be back at the classrooms by Monday after a pretty good day at the bargaining table yesterday.
We're still working through our conversations around some of the key issues like class size and staffing, like pay for our experienced educators, like paraprofessional pay. And then there's still lots of little details.
The late U.S. Representative Elijah Cummings about to be laid to rest in Baltimore this morning. The Democrat died last Thursday at 68 from complications from longstanding health issues. The funeral in Baltimore comes after visitors poured into the U.S. Capitol yesterday to pay their respects to the lawmaker and civil rights activist who was the first African-American to ever lie in state at the Capitol. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham is getting some support for a resolution he's authored that condemns the House impeachment inquiry against President Trump. The South Carolina Republican introducing the resolution that slams the inquiry for its secretive process, which he calls illegitimate. Graham calls it a rogue action that's a danger to the entire nation. The Houston Astros assistant general manager, Brandon Taubman, has been fired. The team announcing they've let him go because of comments that he made to female reporters. Taubman was accused of cheering the performance of Roberto Osuna. Osuna had been suspended over domestic violence allegations. The Astros then picked him up. The Astros in the middle of the World Series, two games behind the Washington Nationals. The series will resume this evening in Washington. And it looks like Halloween is really going to the dogs this year. Well, yeah, 29 million people are expected to dress up their pets next week. That comes to about $500 million spent just on pet costumes. The number is double what it was in 2010. A list by the National Retail Federation shows pumpkin costumes are the most popular for pets, followed by the always lovable hot dog costume. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. We're going to be talking about religious freedom. I don't blame you for being a little confused for all the stuff back and forth, because you go, well, wait, what happened? Our Constitution, didn't it cover that? I mean, why are we having such a debate over religious freedom? What is going on? Well, we've got a top legal expert who has written a new book, and he's going to give us some fresh perspective on the emerging threats to religious freedom. The title of the book, Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America. Luke Goodrich is his name. He's an attorney at the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, where he has won multiple Supreme Court victories for clients, including the Little Sisters of the Poor, which we're going to have to renegotiate because I understand that there's new problems there, and Hobby Lobby. Luke, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Hey, I'm excited to have you here to talk about religious liberty, but only because I brought it up. Let's get this and address this right away, and that is the news, the recent news, that we've got a state coming after the Sisters of the Poor. What is going on here?
Yeah, so the Little Sisters of the Poor are Catholic nuns mm-hmm. who devote their lives to caring for the elderly poor. And back during the Obama administration, the government issued a regulation that would require the Little Sisters to use their health insurance plan to deliver contraception and abortion-causing drugs in violation of their religious beliefs. So I and my colleagues at the Beckett Fund sued the Obama administration and said this regulation was unlawful. We went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court basically said, really, government? You can't deliver contraception and abortion-causing drugs to people without using Catholic nuns? Mm-hmm. Why don't you go back and figure out a way to do it without using Catholic nuns? So then Trump was elected. The Trump administration issued a good rule. It keeps the nuns out of the process. You know, people can still get their contraception if they need it. And everything was good. But a couple of blue states, California, Pennsylvania, and a few others, have sued the Trump administration and sued the Little Sisters of the Poor, saying that this religious freedom protection is somehow unlawful. And earlier this week, the Ninth Circuit out in California issued a bad ruling. So now we're headed back to the Supreme Court again on behalf mm-hmm. of the Little Sisters. And frankly, just looking forward to a second victory and putting this to bed once and for all.
Well, hopefully that would be the case. I mean, this is ridiculous that here we are revisiting something that clearly the Supreme Court, I thought made it quite plain. You know, there's certainly plenty of alternatives here. And the Pennsylvania Attorney General in this report, Josh Shapiro, he now wants to take that exemption away from the Little Sisters of the Poor, as you stated. So when will this be heard in the Supreme Court? Are we talking next year or what?
Yeah, we're going to ask the Supreme Court to hear it, and they could hear it as early as early 2020. Mm-hmm. I could also get kicked over to the next term. But you're right. We are seeing an increase in hostility and an increase in religious freedom conflicts across the country in a wide variety of areas. So that's why I've written Free to Believe, is to help ordinary Americans, you know, non-legalese, just understand what are these issues, where are they coming from, how are they popping up, and what can we do about it?
Well, this is what happens when you enter a postmodern world that wants to deny God, right?
That's
I mean, the bottom line. I mean, at the bottom line, that's what the motivation is, right? We have a sentiment within our culture that wants to deny God.
Yes, there's been a major shift in our culture and longstanding Christian beliefs about life, about human sexuality, about God, and about absolute truth. Now, these beliefs were not controversial 50 years ago,
mm-hmm.
But nowadays, due to a major cultural shift, these beliefs are not only controversial, but are in many ways viewed as a threat to
yes.
the prevailing culture.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an effort to stamp out or to punish people who hold these longstanding Christian beliefs.
And, of course, in part, this was validated by our former president, who says he's a Christian. Made the announcement that America was no longer a Christian nation. Of course, that left everybody in a quandary to understand when did that happen.
Yeah, that was a very controversial statement. And you know, what I try to lay out in the book in detail is that there have been some significant shifts in our culture, and that's why we're seeing, especially if you're a Christian who believes in traditional marriage between one man and one woman. Now, that view is increasingly being labeled by our culture and by politicians as bigotry.
Mm-hmm.
And politicians, government bureaucrats, are trying to marshal the power of the government to punish those traditional religious beliefs. It's not just cases like the baker who wouldn't bake a cake for a same-sex wedding, but I'm representing right now a religious foster care ministry. They've been recruiting foster families and providing loving homes for foster children for over 100 years, and the city of Philadelphia just decided to shut down that ministry because it's hostile to their religious beliefs about marriage. So we're seeing mm-hmm. these types of conflicts across the country, and it's a big deal.
Well, here for over 200 years, based on our Constitution, our beliefs in God and freedom and practice of religion has, I would say, by estimation, has done little harm to the community at large. If anything, you could argue that the greater good has been exercised as a result of our constitutional right and exercise. But now it's been determined that freedom of religion is damaging to the, the psyche of, of Americans. Is that what we're dealing with?
Yeah, I mean, you look across the country at schools, hospitals, nursing homes, orphanages, soup kitchens, halfway houses. I mean, these were provided out of the wellspring of Christian charity for mm-hmm. hundreds of years in this country. And, you know, that Philadelphia case I mentioned, the Christian ministry has been doing foster care since long before the city even thought to care for foster children. And
right.
the religious Christians were there first. And now the government is coming in and saying, hey, because you don't place children with same-sex couples, you guys are bigots and we are going to shut you down. It's completely contrary to what our Constitution was built on.
Well, and the good news is that the religious people can't help but do what they do. You know, we're going to continue to be kind and to service. I mean, because you look, as you refer to here, Luke, there has been a rich history in this country where there has been need in local communities. And the first ones, almost consistently, that have answered that need have been people of faith. And so somehow we want to ignore that history and that natural inclination, and then we're going to end up now with another form of a bureaucracy and a bigger government development that introduced to our community's welfare. And look at all the trillions of dollars that we've spent, and are we better off as a result of this government program?
That's absolutely right. I mean, Christians have been filling in the gap for hundreds of years, and we really need to be prepared to make the case. You know, if we're providing the best schools for the neediest children, And if we're providing the best foster care for the neediest children, and if we're providing the best medical care for the neediest communities, then we have a powerful case to make that religious freedom, it's not just about protecting a fundamental human right, although it is, but it's actually good for society to allow these religious ministries to flourish and to care for those who are in need. So we need to be able to make that case.
Exactly. Well, there's enough empirical evidence, I believe, to back that up. And Luke, we're going to continue on with the conversation and your new book, Free to Believe, after this. Stay with us.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month, you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call AmeriGlide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple 2-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
There's no high you can't rescue, no war you can't win, no story so over it can't start again.
No.
impossible with you.
Just now impossible with the God we serve. And, you know, that includes all these hot-button religious issues that we're dealing with today. We're grateful for Luke Goodrich and his brand-new book. He's an attorney at the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, where he has won multiple Supreme Court victories for clients, including the Little Sisters of the Poor. And looks like we're going to be going back to the Supreme Court here. And Hobby Lobby. I only chuckle only because, Luke... as they said, they're fighting against God. I mean, if God wants the Little Sisters of the Poor to remain, remain they shall. And if he has a better idea, you know, we'll see that play out. But this is who they're fighting. I mean, even governments historically have realized at different points that if it's a God thing, there's nothing they can do about it. Others have found out the hard way and have taken on God and found out that even when the odds were insurmountable and seemed like it was going to be an easy victory for them, they underestimated the power of God.
That is absolutely right, and it's so important, and it's part of what I discuss in my book, Free to Believe, because a lot of Christians, we tend to approach religious freedom conflicts primarily as a legal issue or a political issue or a constitutional issue. Mm-hmm. And we get caught up in who's going to win the next election, what is the composition of the Supreme Court going to be. And those are obviously important. You know, I'm in court every day fighting mm-hmm. these cases. But religious freedom is much more than a political, legal, or constitutional issue. It is a biblical issue. Mm-hmm. And if we are Christians, we need to go back to Scripture and reacquaint ourselves with what Scripture says about religious freedom. And there are many, many religious freedom conflicts in Scripture. It's not just Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There are stories throughout Scripture that I unpack in detail in my book, Free to Believe. And a key lesson for Christians, you know, we do need to be informed. We do need to know what the legal conflicts are and the problems in our country today. But we also need to approach this through the lens of Scripture, through the lens of the gospel. And much exactly. of Scripture was written to Christians who are facing persecution, and we need to reacquaint ourselves with that message. And ultimately, it is a message of hope. Mm-hmm. I go back to the book of John. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble.
Exactly.
And absolutely, there is trouble. Mm.
Yep.
But in the same breath, he said, take heart, I have overcome the world. And so as Christians, we need to keep that in mind as we approach religious freedom conflict. You know, we could look at our stable legal system, at our Supreme Court, and at our elections. You know, but if that's where our hope lies, it is a flimsy hope. Mm-hmm. And the next bad election result or the next bad religious freedom loss, our hope is gone. Our hope needs to be founded on the person of Jesus Christ, who said, take heart, I have overcome the world.
Right. And this is why we're called to be salt and light, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it sounds so trite, it sounds so Christianese, but for just a moment, take it for what it means. I mean, to be salt and light. You know, you hear that from the pulpit, you know, okay, yeah, yeah. But no, really. I mean, for a dark world, a world that is dying, that God knew that this was, this was the trajectory of it. But for Christians, but for people of faith and followers of Christ, Jesus came to make a difference, and the difference, the difference that he made that continues and his legacy continues today, because those of us who have committed to be, followers of Christ and to be that salt and light to a dark and dying world.
Absolutely. I mean, 1 Peter 4:19 says, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. And it's a calling to continue to do good, even when we suffer for it. And there are stories throughout Scripture where people of God were willing to suffer for their faith and continue doing good. And we need to be ready for that. I mean, obviously, we want to win cases. And in my firm, the Beckett Fund for Religious Freedom, we have a 90% win rate, and we're undefeated in the Supreme Court. And it's great to win. It promotes justice. It's good for people to be able to live out their religious faith without government interference. But we also need to be ready for losses.
Yeah, exactly.
We're ready to continue doing good, even if it costs us.
And along the way, exactly. It's at a cost. This isn't all pro bono. This isn't all free, because even if there isn't a monetary exchange, I think of the Kleins, and I think of the Baker, and I think of those who have been persecuted. You know, Luke, these people who are guilty of having a dream for a business, and all of a sudden it's torn out from underneath them. And, I remember talking with Melissa Klein and tears rolling down her face, and I could just feel her heart, being a businessman myself. I mean, all you want to do is to be able to go out and serve people. And here she is serving her community. And all of a sudden now she's told that that's wrong. And on top of that, it's going to cost you $146,000.
Yeah. That is wrong. And that is unjust. And that is worth resisting and worth fighting against. And that's what I've devoted my working life to. Mm-hmm. And also as Christians, we don't just let the suffering come and roll over us. I mean, we're called to be innocent as doves, but we're also called to be shrewd as serpents. And there is still time. If you are a business owner, if you are a ministry leader, a pastor, or a person in the pew, there are practical steps you can take right now, today, to protect your business, to protect your ministry, and to protect your family. And so I devote the last section of the book, Free to Believe, to practical steps that Christians and all Americans can take to preserve our religious freedom, from looking at our employment practices and your official business document to assessing your risks, your partnerships with the government, or what is your customer base, how you can get good legal advice, what types of political involvement are important. And ultimately, as Christians, what is the heart posture that we are called to take as Christians in the midst of these conflicts? And we need to be cultivating Christ-likeness, because that's ultimately what it's about. It's not about winning a culture war or winning this or that case. It's about Christ-likeness and pursuing the glory of God. And that's what we need to be doing as Christians in the midst of religious freedom conflict.
And I guess that is really, kind of the telling point here. The closer to Christ-likeness that we have, and the grace that effuses from us, that we've received from God, it's going to be a different testimony. It's not like we have to go and have carnal battles with people. We can rest assured in our spiritual standing with a God that says all is well, and a God that says, look, I'm the author and finisher of your faith. I've got control of who's writing the chapters of your life here. So you can go forth in confidence regardless of the results, and regardless if the Beckett Fund suddenly starts losing Supreme Court cases, God is not going to change.
Absolutely. Jesus said, when they drag you before governors and kings for my sake, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say, and it will be an opportunity for your testimony. And even just look at the book of Acts. I mean, Herod, he imprisoned James and he imprisoned Peter. James was beheaded. Peter was miraculously rescued and brought and set free. Yeah, so even in scripture, we see sometimes God provides miraculous rescue and enables the gospel to go forth and flourish. Other times we suffer, and yet he can still be glorified in the suffering.
Well, Luke, in your experience, time and again, you have borne witness to God's grace and his mercy and counsel. And it has to be especially rewarding for you and validating all the hard work that you and the others associated with the Beckett Fund have committed to. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, you can read more about it in his book, Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America. And as Luke was pointing out, especially at the end of the book, for businessmen and women, boy, I'll tell you, this is a great bit of counsel that probably many hours of attorney counsel at a high expense could mount up, but here it is for the price of the book. This will get you thinking. Luke Goodrich has been with us. Luke, thank you so much. God bless.
Bill, thanks so much for having me.
Dan Perkins here with your songs and stories for soldiers, veterans, tip of the day. Did you get a flu shot last year? If you answered no, you don't have an excuse this year. You can get a shot at your closest VA center on your next visit for free. But what if you don't have a visit planned in the near future? Don't have a visit planned? Here's an alternative. Here's your veterans tip of the day. The Veterans Administration and Walgreens have teamed up to make flu shots more accessible and free to veterans. They have made it very easy for you to get this protection. Protecting yourself is a good idea.
idea. Getting a flu shot at the VA or consider going to a local Walgreens, both are free. Just go to your local Walgreens, no appointment necessary, show your ID card, and get your flu shot for free. Protecting yourself, get a flu shot. Last year, over 80,000 people in America died from the flu. The life you save just might be your own. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. I'm Dan Perkins.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Several wildfires are burning in California, but by far the largest is the Kincade Fire in the northern part of the state, which is still out of control. Mike Parks with Cal Fire.
Currently, the fire stands at 16,000 acres. We have made 5% containment.
The fire in Sonoma County has forced at least 2,000 people to evacuate their homes. It's being fueled still by the strong Santa Ana winds. Massachusetts is taking ExxonMobil to court for misleading people for decades over the link between fossil fuels and climate change. The state attorney general filing the suit yesterday. The energy giant's facing a similar suit from New York, claiming Exxon scientists knew years ago that fossil fuels were hastening global warming, but the company lied to even their investors. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now, it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez live.
This is your time, your moment. Don't burn the fight, you're gone. You've come so far, keep going.
And independent, just the way you like to hear from us every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Danny Gokey, thank you. Hey, it's time for your comeback. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. An incredible story we have to share with you from a most incredible book titled The Hidden Nazi, The Untold Story of America's Deal with the Devil. Dean Reuter, Colm Lowry, and Keith Chester have combined their efforts to bring this story heretofore that has been untold. He was among the worst of the Nazis. He was responsible for the construction of Hitler's slave labor sites and concentration camps. He personally altered the design of Auschwitz to increase crowding, ensuring that epidemic diseases would complement the work of the gas chamber. So pleased was Hitler by his work that he put him in charge of the Nazi rocket and nuclear weapons program. At the end of the war, he had more power than SS Chief Heinrich Himmler. Yes, why has the world never heard of this monster, General Hans Kammler? Well, through decades of investigation, as I mentioned, the three authors have combined their efforts to present a work unveiling the shocking true history, not only that Kammler's suicide was faked, but that he escaped exposure and justice through a secret deal with America. Dean Reuter, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Wow, what a story here. How did you come about this, Dean?
Well, you're right. It was an amazing story, so amazing that when it was presented to me, I was very skeptical. I'm a lawyer, and Keith Chester, you mentioned three principal authors. I'm the principal author. There are two researchers. Keith Chester's one of them. Mm-hmm. He reached out to me a dozen years ago because he'd been researching this all-powerful, all-evil general who nobody'd written about. Mm-hmm. And in doing his research, he came across Dr. Colm Lowry, our other researcher, and he asked me as a friend and a lawyer to draft a collaboration agreement so the two of them could share information. And then they started to share information with me, and I was skeptical that such an amazing story could exist and be hidden for 75 years, never told. But they started feeding me bits and pieces of information, different documents, got me interested. We started doing research together, and I went from skeptic to principal author on the project, The Hidden Nazi, this amazing story.
So in your spare time of being an attorney, you're writing this incredible story and collaborating with these three. I imagine it probably just gathered its own inertia and probably just, you know, took you by your collar, right?
It did, and you know, I tell the story in first person in the book, The Hidden Nazi, so the reader gets to enjoy the ride in the hunt for this guy, and a lot of it is, you know, uncovering documents just through indefatigable research by these other two guys. I did some research myself, made a couple trips to Europe. Colm Lowry is in Northern Ireland, so he's been all over Europe. We've been doing interviews here in the United States, doing you know, research in archives, but also Freedom of Information Act requests, research at small libraries. You wouldn't believe where these documents are stored, Air Force bases across the country. These documents are everywhere.
So was the first-hand interview, did you have that, or did Colm or Keith have the interview with Hans Kammler's son?
That was me.
Okay.
That was me, and that was an astounding sort of event because I had been in touch with his son, who's an old man, you know, at the time I'm interviewing him, and in touch with him by email, but had never arranged for a formal interview. He was a bit cagey. So I decided on a trip to Germany I would just show up at his house, which I did, not knowing if there was going to be a big confrontation, if he was going to defend his father, if he was going to try and, you know, just shut me out, not even knowing if he'd be at home, frankly.
Well, he was dying, right?
Yes. Yeah, he was very, and he has since passed away. Mm-hmm. You know, describing that scene for the reader, I thought was important, and a critical part of the book. And we got some real, I really did want to try and put a face on this General Kammler. We do establish his heinous deeds, but, we wanted to get sort of the family side of him as well, mm-hmm. Describe that for the reader.
Well, as you go into this, as you say, you just show up at the door to interview his son. You're not sure what you're going to be met with. Was it just kind of a almost a deathbed confession? It's kind of like, okay, I need to get this off my chest. Or did you have to, you know, dig deep into the interview here with him?
I would describe him as on alert and cagey. His wife was there, and, you know, he was more forthcoming than his wife wanted him to be. I really got the impression that, not that they were trying to protect the family patriarch. He clearly knew his father was guilty, and in his own words, he said his father was in it up to his eyeballs. But I think they were trying to keep their information close hold. I got the sense they were wanting to write their own book, and didn't want to share too much information.
Right.
They were looking to me for information. You mentioned in your opening that Hans Kammler supposedly committed suicide. His wife had him adjudicated dead by a Berlin court, but it's very clear the family never completely bought into that story. They were still looking for their father, their husband.
So somehow he may have escaped to South America. He's on witness protection or something.
Well, I mean, the whole premise of the book, The Hidden Nazi, is that he, in the end, as you mentioned in your opening, he's in charge of all of Germany's secret weapons, including the German rockets, but much, much more, the jets, their nuclear research. He had his fingers on all of this technology, and as the war's ending, everybody knew Germany was going to lose, and there would be this mad scramble for all the German technology, which was superior to anything we had,
right,
anything anybody had. This liquid-fueled rocket that we inherited, we got their whole rocket team, became our ICBM, and put us on the moon and helped us win the Cold War. But it wasn't it wasn't just by chance that we stumbled upon this rocket team and were able to bring the team to the United States. Everybody knows the story of that team coming here, but nobody knows that it was Hans Kammler in what we call the Kammler deal, an effort to try and rehabilitate himself, who delivered the rocket team to the U.S.
Really? So he was the one that delivered the team?
Yeah. Yeah, and we've got the document. The book is just filled with documents, photographs of documents, the original documents we were able to unearth from all those sources I've mentioned through painstaking research. There's no doubt in my mind that we struck a deal with Kammler. His idea was that he would rehabilitate himself, escape the noose, and deliver this technology to the United States.
Wow. That's the deal with the devil. How did Kammler come up with all this information? Was he just a genius, or, you know, what was it?
Well, that's a great question. That's a great question. You mentioned in your opening that you know, he was an architect and an engineer by training, and in the earlier period of the war, he just did these benign civil service projects, but he was so good at them, so efficient, and so determined and driven, running these projects beginning to end, he began to rise in the Nazi hierarchy. He was an ideologue, an early Nazi, an early member of the SS, and he distinguished himself. So when they were ready to implement the Holocaust, they turned to him. And he designed the concentration camps. He designed the barracks. He built and designed the gas chambers and the ovens. We've got a signature on all these documents. And because of his efficiency, which is a horrible thing to say when it comes to, you know, designing ways to kill people, for that reason, he was put in charge of all of Germany's secret weapons, literally all of them. This rocket I mentioned, the supersonic rocket, he was in charge of it in terms of research, production, and even deploying it. He's on the battlefield firing these rockets on London and Southampton and Antwerp. So he had his thumb on all of this technology. He's the one person that oversaw all this technology. So he's the only person that could have delivered the technology to the United States.
As you are putting all this together, I just see this war room of information that you start running strings and connecting the dots to all these different events. This must have been immense. I imagine for the law firm, they go in there, they go, don't even go into that room.
Well, I did all this research, writing during my commute, but also in my home office. So it was my wife who was saying, don't even go into that room.
I can only imagine. We're going to talk more about the dots that you had to connect here. In The Hidden Nazi, The Untold Story of America's Deal with the Devil, Dean Reuter continues with us. I'm Bill Martinez. It's just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Drop me an email. Love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. You know, most people don't know they're missing the most important nutritional components in their diet. You know, if we really want to feel good and not miss work and get the most of each day, then we need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mother's lineage. It helps our body recognize when we're under attack and fights all those nasty microbes we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is to seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstream. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
Package start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. That's 800-932-1789.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist George Will had to say about the hidden Nazi. He says, justice delayed is justice denied, not in this case, at long last, and at the skillful hands of Dean Reuter, particularly a nasty Nazi, has been brought before the bar of history for a lasting sort of justice, the measure but stern judgment of a meticulous historian. Andrew McCarthy also writes, he's a former federal prosecutor that you see on Fox all the time these days. He writes, the hidden Nazi is a revelation, a spellbinding, at times harrowing new history of an epic we thought had been covered from every angle, trained on as ingenious and monstrous a villain as total global war could produce, Hans Kammler. And Alan Dershowitz writes, the hidden Nazi is a must-read, especially in this age of increasing Holocaust denial and minimization. Dean Reuter continues with us as we discuss his book, The Untold Story of America's Deal with the Devil. Dean, as we were talking about, as you are connecting the dots in all this, I imagine a bit of onion skin experience, because as each layer of onion skin, as you pull back, you're just realizing the diabolical depth of this man.
No, exactly so. I thought it would start with, or stop with the idea that he'd been involved in the Holocaust, but the extent of his involvement is just extraordinary, and I can't believe nobody's written about it before. It was him who identified Auschwitz as the camp to be massively enlarged, and then it was him that drew up the plans for that, doubling and then redoubling the size of the camp, doing the meets and bounds, doing the infrastructure for it, designing the what would become the standard concentration camp barracks. We have the blueprints with his signature at the bottom, and the standard barracks was going to be brick, but he nixed that because it was cheaper to mass produce these wooden barracks, which were essentially horse barracks. And in the margin, you know, a number written, 550 people are supposed to be crammed into one of these buildings, and that's stricken through in hand and then written below at 774. So just like that, you take an overcrowded barracks and increase it by 30%, and that was that was him. He was hands-on. We found documents showing he's doing this not just at Auschwitz, but at camps all over the Reich, and he's there endlessly, from moving from one camp to another. His His nickname at the time was Staubwolk, which means dust cloud, which describes the vivid description of him racing from one project to another. His subordinates were in fear of him, that he would shoot them if they didn't perform. And then, you know, from there, if that were enough, he turned his hand to designing and installing the gas chambers and the ovens at all of these same camps. Again, not just Auschwitz, but everywhere throughout the Reich. And these are camps that killed millions and millions of people.
I was going to say, is he like the single most and greatest mass murderer in the history of humanity?
That's really, really hard to say.
You're probably going to put him in the top five or something.
I will say that if he had known to been alive at the end of the war, he would have been at the top of the most wanted list for war criminals. He would have been higher than Joseph Mengele, the Angel of Death, mm-hmm. or even Adolf Eichmann. He had his hands in so many things, and he is credited with ramping up the efficiency of the Holocaust. And so he's not just a believer, but he made the killing so much more efficient. He had gas chambers in the basements of buildings with elevators that went to the crematoria directly above. So you're literally walking the fewest steps possible to move tens of thousands of corpses to incinerate them. It's ghastly stuff, but that was his area of expertise. And then he turns his eye to the slave labor trade, which mm-hmm. we talk about a lot in the book, The Hidden Nazi.
Well, break that down. Let's talk more about the slave labor trade.
So that's a story that a lot of people are familiar with. But mm-hmm. as the war moves on, you know, Germany is running out of manpower. And you need to build munitions. You need to still harvest food. You need to do all the things that support an economy, a wartime economy. So they started a decision was made to take the healthy prisoners and turn them into slaves. And the SS and Hans Kammler controlled the camps. So they siphoned off these people, made slaves out of them, and then rented them back to the German government and to German industry, companies whose names you would recognize today, mm-hmm. and produce a revenue stream for the SS. But part of the design of the slave labor trade was to work these people to death.
I was going to say, once they wore out their usefulness, then they were expendable.
Exactly. They were always expendable. And there's a terrible quote that we have in the book from Hans Kammler that begins, "No matter the number of human victims, the work must be executed and completed in the shortest amount of time possible." That's sort of his calling card in terms of his management style, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be snarky about it, but he was a terrible human being in every phase of his life. We even during the interview with his son, I learned that he had five children, two of whom died early, one of whom was an infant daughter, and in a freak accident, she was in the care of a nurse as an mm-hmm. infant. Now, the nurse left a bottle of chloroform open near her, and the baby literally died of inhalation of gas.
Oh, God.
But despite...
Ironic, huh?
Ironic, and despite that, you never see any... We never found any really element of kindness or empathy in him for the children that were sent to the gas chambers that he built.
Well, in order to murder people, you'd have to sear your conscience and destroy any compassion whatsoever, and you're looking at it as his statement says. I mean, it's all about the project and the bottom line and accomplishing the mission, right?
Exactly. And that came through a little bit in the son. You know, his son knew his father was guilty of all this, and in the end said the efficiencies were required of him. He had deadlines. He was a good father. And you could see a generation later, the son, you know, really struggling to come to terms with what his father was.
You had a chance to interview Holocaust survivors. What did they tell you?
Well, this is extraordinary because, Kammler built Auschwitz, and then he built one obscure camp where our rocket team ended up in the late stages of the war, a small camp with virtually no survivors. But I met one survivor who had survived a ghetto put together by Kammler, then Auschwitz, and then Dora Nordhaus in this small, obscure camp. And the odds of finding somebody who'd been through all of those camps are just infinitesimally small. And I described the interview at length with him. He's if there's a hero in this book, it's Joe Gringlas, who to this day has just joy in his life and has been able to survive the Holocaust and then come to terms with it.
Wow.
But he describes his confrontation with Joseph Mengele in the selection process, where you come off the train on these ramps and you go through a process, and it's decided then if you're going to be gassed immediately or put to work as a slave. And it's a moment of triumph for him because he's able to become a slave rather than, and he outwits Joseph Mengele by lying about his age.
Mm-hmm.
Just an extraordinary story in and of itself. There are so many different threads in the hidden Nazi that I just thought were fascinating.
How special for you, Dean, to be able to have a conversation with Joseph Mengele like this? I mean, what does that do for you in terms of appreciating, you can say the hand of God, humanity, what a special individual.
It is providence, and it is a great privilege, and I end up dedicating the book. The book is dedicated to my loving family and B-2247, 2248, 2249. One of those tattoo numbers is his.
Yes.
And in the text of the book, I wonder about who was in front of him and who was behind him and what became of them.
Exactly. Well, the documents, the U.S. government documents that you discovered, prove that Kamler was in U.S. custody. So there's no doubt, as you follow, follow the story here, he's in U.S. custody for months. And, of course, this was all, part and parcel of the rocket team, right?
Yes, and you're right. You're absolutely right. There is no doubt. We had him for 10 to 12 months. This is long after, 10 to 12 months after his alleged suicide. So his suicide is obviously not true. And we interrogated him. We know where he was, the different parts of Europe. And then there's an extradition request from Great Britain because he'd used these rockets. He'd been in charge of bombing London and Southampton. Mm-hmm. So they wanted him extradited. And then the paper trail just sort of evaporates.
Is it this paper trail, this is post his declared suicide?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, wow.
We're talking about 10 to 12 months after he supposedly committed suicide. He's being interrogated by the U.S. Army in northern Austria, in central Germany, in Nuremberg, on the eve of the Nuremberg trials. He's interrogated and not never tried.
Wow. There's so much to this book. I mean, even to the point that some people might be surprised that there was plans for a Fourth Reich, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised by it, honestly. I mean, I'd always heard about it. I thought mm-hmm. it was sort of the stuff of fiction. Mm-hmm. But we found documents that show a meeting with high government officials in the fall of 1944 and the German industrialists, where the orders are to offshore all your gold, offshore all your technology, get it out of the Reich because we're going to lose the war.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about the arc of history, Germany lost World War One in a sudden and unexpected, embarrassing loss.
Right.
And yet they rose again. So it's perfectly reasonable to imagine they were making plans for a resurgent Fourth Reich. And we even found a 1953 CIA report, so this is 8 years after the war, where the CIA is terrified of a Fourth Reich because they've been down in South America looking at all the Bavarian-like villages and the German chambers of commerce and the German economies down there.
Unbelievable. You'll also read about newly unearthed evidence of just how far the Nazis had come in their nuclear research, information America was alarmingly unaware of during the war. Boy, I'll tell you, that'll cause you to take a deep breath really quick. Dean Ryder has been with us. His book, The Hidden Nazi, The Untold Story of America's Deal with the Devil. Book available at all the usual places, right, Dean?
It is, yes, sir. Thank you.
And we're going to link it on our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com. Dean, thank you so much. Great work here. Congratulations to all three of you. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Bill. It's been great.
Take care. Bye.
Dahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.